Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Because it can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough.
Hey, I'm Anne.
And I'm Kendra. And you're listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. And if you are new to this show, hey, welcome. We're a show specifically designed for couples struggling with infertility or miscarriage. That's part of our journey. But you know, the show has expanded to talk about so many other issues that that touches on. You know, it goes into foster care or adoption, child loss, and whatever it is that you're going through, we just want to be a safe place for you to come, and we want to point you to Christ, to cling to Him as your rock. And you know what? We even have some people that aren't going through any of those issues that listen to us.
That listen, yeah.
You're welcome too, but they know somebody that's going through it, and they say, I just want to be there for this person, and I want to understand these issues and understand, and if that's you, props to you for being the body of Christ and being really ready to love those who are hurting. So you're welcome as well.
For sure. Well, today we have on a lady who I've known for a very long time, actually. But she is on to talk about a little bit of everything, you know? Yeah. And so I'm excited to have her on. I'm excited to have you back, Kendra.
Thank you. Yes. I've been on maternity leave for a little while.
Yes.
Beautiful. Well, we'll talk more about that in another episode.
We need an update.
I am just so in love with this season of life. And thank you guys for those that prayed for our family. Man, I'm in the glow of the Lord giving me so many blessings and granting the desire of my heart. And it's awesome. Yeah. That's all I can say.
Well, I'm so glad. But we're also glad to have you back.
Yes.
But my friend, Emily, we have known each other. You've known me since I was little.
For about 19 years.
Yeah, that's a long time. And so you're here today. I wanted you to come on, and I think we've kind of like mentioned it on and off a few times throughout the years. And I know your husband, Scott, I saw him one time, like, oh goodness, 23. I know it was before John Michael was born. We were talking about you coming on, and then you just haven't been on yet. And so I'm very excited to have you here to share your story. I know that you've struggled with infertility, but you've also adopted. You have a stepdaughter, which you don't even call stepdaughter, I know, but that's her term for you. But anyway, so we're going to talk about a lot of fun things today. So I'm glad that you're here.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. So just to get us started, just tell us a brief, like briefly of what your family looks like right now.
So I have been married to my husband, Scott, for 19 years. We have
congrats.
Yeah.
Take the red ribbon in today's
thank
society.
Thank you. Yes. We have a daughter, Hannah. It's my stepdaughter. She is actually 26. And then we have a 10-year-old, a 4-year-old, both boys.
Those are three very different age brackets, my
yes,
goodness.
They are. Yes, they are. God has a sense of humor.
He does.
And I'm a kindergarten teacher, member of West Jackson Street Baptist Church, very involved there. And that's about it.
It's amazing.
Stay busy.
You have to stay busy, for sure, for sure. And I know that sounds like real quick that we just got there, but you took a long time to get to where you are right now to be able to say, these are my kids, you know. And so what, do you care if we just jump right into that?
Sure, sure.
So how did we get here? What did your life look like to even get to the point of having a stepdaughter?
So I got married 19 years ago, and when I first met Scott, Hannah was 4, and so it was a little bit of an adjustment trying to learn my role, and also her mom's role. You know, there was a learning curve there, but we were able to work through all of our little things. I never wanted to like overstep and say this is my daughter, but I never wanted to call her my stepdaughter because I felt like she was going to be my daughter. You know, I wanted to love her like She was my daughter. Mm-hmm. So there was a learning curve, like I said, because I didn't want her mom to feel like I was trying to overstep, but I also wanted her mom to know that, hey, I'm here to support, to help mm-hmm. love, help mm-hmm. guide. And her mom and I have a good relationship now, thankfully. And Hannah and I have a great mm-hmm. relationship now, but that it took time to work through that to get there. But when we got married, she was 7, and she was there all mm-hmm. the time. At the time, she was living with her mom, and so it was every other weekend and then every Tuesday. And then it got to be where she'd stay with us a little more. And so we really got to bond. Mm-hmm. We got to grow a pretty good relationship through that time.
That's amazing. Wow. You know, we've had a lot of people on the show to talk specifically about the unique, sometimes awkward, but then often can be beautiful relationships of moms and stepmoms. And we've had a lot of people that struggle with infertility mm-hmm. that wonder, can, you know, God use this to fulfill this need and this desire to be a mom? So some of those episodes, help me break them down real quick. And we have Jade came on and talked with Laura Petherbridge. We also had another lady come on. I'm forgetting her name. We'll have to drop the link in the description.
I'm not remembering her name right now. But she, Jay, talked about, mm-hmm. you know, a childless stepmom because mm-hmm. she still wanted to be mom. And kind of like that, where
she doesn't
is
have her own child, she felt, in her relationship.
But then we had another lady come on, and she was like, I felt like my role was fulfilled. Like, mm-hmm. It's just the different circumstances and children and moms and all that. But being way younger when you and I still call him Mr. Scott got married, I think I handed out Coke at your wedding or something.
Yes,
like that. I thought about that earlier and I was like, I remember doing that because Mr. Scott loves some Coke. He's like a collector of Coke products.
Oh, my word.
Anyway, you just came in and loved Hannah, and sometimes you don't see stepmoms doing that. And obviously at the time, I didn't know your infertility story, but now me growing up as a young woman struggling with infertility and then, you know, thinking back and thinking, you know, like, what? I wonder what that was like. You're struggling with them. We haven't even gotten to that part of your story yet, so let's get there.
Okay. So, we were married for a month. My husband's dad was very sick. He had lung cancer. Mm. And so he didn't get to come to our wedding. We were hoping he would, but he got sick right before, and he just couldn't make it. And so he died on January 17th, the year after we got married. Mm. And so it was 1 month, and we were like, we can't let time go by so fast that we wanted children. We had already talked about children. We knew children were part of our plan and were going to be part of our life, but we didn't want to wait anymore. We were like, we want our parents to be around to love on our grandchildren because they're never going to get to know their pop. Mm-hmm. And so that that was like, okay, let's go. Never once in my dreams did I think, oh, there's going to be issues. Mm-hmm. Never imagined. So we were like, okay, let's do this. We're going to have a baby. And then 3 years later, there was still no baby.
3 years.
And 3 years. And it was kind of one of those things where it was like, it'll happen. And I wasn't rushing it, but I was, you know, like, okay, why it's going to happen soon, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the closer it got to the 3 year mark, I was like, okay, we need to find some answers. Yeah. So I went and had some tests done and found out I had PCOS. And my doctor was like, well, let's do some more tests.
What is that? Can you break that down for
us? Yes. So it's polycystic ovary syndrome. And basically, I do not ovulate. Mm. And so it has a lot to do with your insulin production and all that thing. So it causes a lot of side effects that I had that I had no clue where they came from and why I had them.
Normal.
Yeah. Mm. It's just my life. But then I realized that was the reasoning behind a lot of those things. Mm. So the main issue was the not being able to ovulate. And so my doctor was like, let's do some more tests. And she said, very low likelihood of you getting pregnant without fertility treatments. Mm-hmm. But she was hopeful. And so I was like, okay, let's go for it. Let's go for it. So she put me on a medicine, and we did that for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And I would go in once a month. And every month, my levels were staying about the same, not getting any better, no
worse.
And
they have to monitor you during this, right?
Yes.
So the coming in is, like, critical.
Yes.
To the
you
process.
Have to come in. Like, there's certain days of the month you have to come in. It's like this day, like the third day or the seventh day. And it's like you have to do it on that day.
Mm-hmm. All-encompassing and, like, time-consuming. And
Yes. And I'm trying to work a full-time job, so I'm like, well, I've got to figure out, you know, like, can I leave work to go do my blood work? You know, like, so there's a lot to it. And but I was like, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. So we did that for 6 months. And the doctor was like, okay, this isn't really helping. So let's try something else. So we tried a fertility medicine. And we did 3 rounds of it. Each month, went in for more testing, you know, the blood work and all that to figure out my numbers. My numbers were dropping.
Oh, my goodness.
And so she was like, this is just not
adding up.
Usually what happens. So let's try this other that if your body doesn't respond to this first one that we tried, bodies usually respond to the second. And I was like, okay, it's going to be it. It's going to be
progress.
It. We're going to do it. So went in for, we did 3 more rounds of it. The first round, she said, your numbers dropped again. And I was like,
man,
what is happening?
Okay, that's not, like, that's not what you said.
Yeah, right.
And so I started getting discouraged around that time. We kept pushing through, kept going through, and we were like, okay, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But it was very taxing emotionally.
Yeah.
Physically, I had a lot of side effects that were not, they were not pleasant.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like myself. Mm-hmm. I was not a happy person.
Yeah.
I felt out of my skin. Like, I just, I didn't like the way I felt. And so the doctor was like, well, after the third round of that third medication, she said the next step would be to send you to a fertility specialist in Memphis. And so we went to Memphis, and he said, you are probably not going to get pregnant unless you do in vitro. And so I was like, okay, let's pray about it. And so we did. Did not feel like that was something we needed to do because of all the side effects I had. I had such hard side effects from the medication. And I was like, if I'm putting hormones in my body and all these other things in my body, and I had such bad side effects with the other, I was like, I just can't.
IVF is like a super hyper version of fertility treatment. So
and
no
I,
telling what harm it could cause your body permanently if
you
had all that.
I just couldn't. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that to myself. I couldn't do it to my husband. I couldn't do it to my coworkers, my kids that I teach. I was like, I'm just not, I didn't feel comfortable with that. So it was, that was a really big, I guess that was our letdown. My big
feels
heartbreak.
Like a door slamming in your face, doesn't it?
It
this is about 4 years in now,
So actually, about five.
Okay.
Maybe we're about 5 years in because it took a process, you know, going through all the testing and all
finding
that we had to do.
Yes. Getting the appointments, going to Memphis.
But I honestly had reached a point to where I was like, okay, I'm going to be a stepmom. And I'm okay with that. But I wasn't. I knew, I had known since I was a little bitty girl that I was going to have my babies. And I was like, okay. So in the back of my mind, I'm telling myself, it's okay if you don't. It's okay if you don't. You have Hannah. And I do.
For sure.
Love her. And I'm so thankful for her every single day. And I know that God had her, you know, she was picked out for me.
That's right.
And so I'm thankful for that.
But there's still that desire to have a baby.
Right.
That you can hold
but
in your
But she
arms.
Has another mom.
Yeah.
And I wanted somebody that was mine, that would call
Only
me mom.
Yours.
Right.
And I knew that if they needed mom, they needed me.
Yeah.
And so that...
That's a good way to put it.
That was one of the hardest things, trying to think, okay, if I live the rest of my life and I never have anybody call me mom, am I going to be okay with that? And I wasn't. I just wasn't. So that was my husband and I were like, okay, we've talked about adopting before. Before we ever got married, we were like, there's so many kids that need a family. Like, why don't we adopt? And so we're like, yep, we're going to adopt. You know, we're dating. Right. We're not even engaged or married, you know. And so, and then I was like, we've talked about adoption. why don't we adopt? Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay. Mm-hmm. And so we prayed. We were praying through, what do we do? What's that process going to be? What are we going to, you know, like, are we just going to go up to an adoption agency and say, hey, we want a baby? Like, what do we do? And so we had to do a lot of research on that. And yeah. so the research on that got a little scary, mm-hmm. you know. And well, so
in the meantime, like, Scott had some big surgeries and stuff like that, okay, too. Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, it was around the same time. It was actually a little bit after the fact that when we found out that it was going to be in vitro or no baby, most likely. He ended up having, he had had numerous surgeries on his ankle, and he ended up having to have his leg amputated.
Yeah. Oh, and so he served in the military.
Yes, he got injured. An injury when he was in the Marines. And so he dealt with it for so many years, and he just, it had worn and gotten really bad. And so it was to the point of amputation. And so that was kind of a little, looking back on it, God was saying, hey, we've got a plan, because he knew that was going to be a very consuming thing and a very big life change.
Yeah. I can't imagine having a newborn and also a husband that doesn't have a foot, right? You know, like learning that aspect of life.
Yes. Mm. It was, yes. I've, looking back on it now, I know that that's one reason why we didn't have a child when we wanted one and when we thought we needed one.
Yeah.
Because we probably couldn't have handled it. It wouldn't have been, you know, ideal. And it would have been hard.
Not to mention, medical bills are expensive. And then you add on fertility treatments. Right. Like, I can imagine that's an extra burden that you're probably walking through.
And that was another reason why we opted against
IVF.
IVF, because we were like, if we do that, then we're forking over a whole lot of money here.
A whole lot of money.
And we're not guaranteed anything. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, so I don't know.
I want to pause. You know, you said you were okay, but you weren't okay. What were your conversations with the Lord looking like during that season of your life?
There was a lot of why. I was going through friends having babies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, it's so hard.
And I'm like,
the announcements.
Yes. why? What did I do? Mm-hmm. Like, why me? Mm-hmm. Why are we the ones that you chose to make us, you know, infertile, or, you know, why me? That was a lot of my conversation. I did a lot of asking. I didn't do a lot of waiting to listen during that time, but it was a lot of questioning, honestly. Yeah.
Did you have any feelings of guilt because the medical side of the infertility was on your part and not your husband's?
There was a lot of that. And he kept telling me, I love you no matter what. And I understand that. But in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm a failure. Yeah. I cannot provide you with a child. And that is what a woman is supposed to do.
Right.
And so I felt I felt defeated. Mm-hmm. I felt like a failure.
Yeah.
That was,
I remember one Father's Day falling apart because I was prepared for Mother's Day and I knew to like have my guard up. But Father's Day, they just were talking about how great dads are. And I just wanted to see my husband be a dad so much. And it hurt to think of him not being a dad.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that was on your mind and heart as well.
Yes. Yes. It was,
Well, did the Lord bring you to any sort of place of contentment with that? Or was there anything that he revealed to you to help you walk through that season?
It took a while. Mm-hmm. It did take a while. And it actually was later on when we were beginning to adopt that I realized it wasn't anything that I had done. Mm. It wasn't any choices I had made in the past. Was I was thinking, okay, did I do something? And God is saying, well, this is your punishment. Mm-hmm. No child for you. That's not the case.
Yeah.
He's not punishing us. Our sins are our sins. Our past is our past. Mm-hmm. He's forgiven us. We have a new life in him. And so that's not the case at all. So it was finally revealed that he has a plan and his plan was not my plan. Mm-hmm. Right. And so the why was not anything harsh like I thought it was. It was more of, I have a better plan. Mm-hmm. My plan is going to be perfect for you. And if I would have written my story, I would have messed it up. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I am now. I see it in hindsight. Uh-huh. I did not see it going along the way. And
well,
it was
along the way, it hurts. I mean, like, you're having to be reminded month to month to month. And then, I mean, you're dealing with everything else in life as well.
Yeah.
You know, and then not, I don't know if you felt like you had someone to talk to. I know for a long time, I didn't feel like I had anyone who felt the way that I was feeling as we were walking through it.
I felt a lot of shame, and so I didn't know who to talk to because I had a few friends that I did share things with, but
they're
they
popping
were getting
babies
pregnant,
out.
Yeah. And so I'm like, they don't understand. Yeah. And so I did. I felt very alone during that time because they didn't understand. They understood as far as I know how I think I would feel, but they didn't know how I felt. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'm not going to burden them with my pain. Mm-hmm. And that hurt.
You know, one of the misconceptions I think about infertility is that people think it's just about you waiting and being content.
Yeah.
They're like, you just have to hang in there and wait. And it's like, yeah, it is waiting. That's a big part of it. It is learning to be content, sure. But they don't understand the burden of being conscientious about trying, about every month, like having to go to those appointments, you know, the
well,
physical, mental,
it being like
spiritual.
A part-time job, you know, keeping up with everything.
It's such a, like, burden that you can feel on your shoulders. And it doesn't have to be if you walk through it with the Lord, but it's a daily, monthly, vicious process of having to surrender that.
Did you feel like Scott was almost mourning too? Like, Did it affect him, or was he like, I want a baby because you want a baby? You know, what did that?
I mean, it affected him as in, I really would like to have a baby with you.
Yeah.
But he was okay because he had Hannah. Right. And he was like, well, I've, you know, but he hurt for me because he knew that I wanted a child. And so he would have been okay either way. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would have been, you know, I'm going to leave you because you can't have a baby.
Right.
Never.
It's crazy how the enemy puts that in your head. I remember thinking, man, I wish Will would have just gotten married to someone else. Mm-hmm. Like, just really feeling like I'm going to keep him from having his own, you know, just that feeling.
I ask him several times, are you regretting marrying me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, do you wish that you would have chosen someone else because I can't give you a child?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like,
those feelings are so real. And if you haven't been there, either as a man or a woman, because I think men could feel that way too, you know, then I don't think there's any way for you to understand that feeling of, I wish I would have chosen someone else for Will, so to make sure he would have had a baby, you know?
Yeah.
And so,
you know, we've talked about the statistics on the show of couples breaking up because of infertility and child loss. And you probably remember them, they're not on top of my head, but they are high. They are exceptionally high. But it's been my experience from all the guests that we've had on the show, it seems like those that really their hearts are centered on the Lord, their marriages grow stronger. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think we've had a single couple, like, of course, we probably wouldn't ask them to be on the show if they were like, wow, he cut and run and I punched him and he's in jail and that's probably not the people you asked to be on the show.
Sounds like a good testimony to me, Kendra.
My point is, 19 years of marriage, that's such a testimony to the Lord's work in your life to sustain you through such a difficult time. Well, I think we're going to have another part of her, right? Yeah. We're closing down on our
time. She's mentioned that she does have two boys, and we haven't gotten to those two boys yet.
Uh-huh.
So we wanted to focus this episode on, you know, talking about being a stepmom because we have people to let us know that that's hard, you know, like realizing, like, my husband had a child with someone else, you know, like, I want to provide that too. How do I love this baby the same? You know, those kind of things. And, you know, we talked about the infertility stuff. And so, next episode, we're going to talk about adoption, how sweet that is.
Real quick, with 1 minute left in the show, before we wrap up, could you just pray for anyone who is struggling with infertility or maybe being a stepmom? It's an encouragement for them.
Okay. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this day, and I thank you for the opportunity to share the story that you've given us. Mm-hmm. I pray right now for those who are struggling with infertility, the feelings that brings, the darkness that they may face, the failure they feel. I pray right now that you just grab them up, wrap them up in your arms. They're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. I know it doesn't seem like it, but they are. Lord, those that have the a stepdaughter, a stepson, they're not steps. Mm-hmm. They are theirs. They're given to them for a reason. And I pray right now that you would just wrap them up as well and share all that love mm-hmm. that you have for them. I pray that you would just be their light.
Yes, Lord.
And give them hope. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Emily, thank you so much for being on. And I look forward to hearing the next part of your story.
Okay.
Stay tuned next week for more of Emily's story. Thanks for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio.